This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show, Life's a Banquet. The show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible!
Starring your hosts, me, Brenton Scott, and...
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about chocolate and wine and bread, champagne and scandal and crackers in bed.
I'm drunk!
Always.
Life's a banquet.
Want another?
Consider it done.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet, the show about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and pourable, with your hosts,
Brenton Scott
and Joe Rogan, Zara Tangora. Brenton!
Hey!
Hi! How's it going?
Good, I'm still recovering.
From what?
From the excitement of last night.
What happened?
Well, I believe you were there. There was a wonderful live radio show you
hosted. Oh, yes.
So last night, we would just like to thank you, everybody. There was a fabulous live show that HRN, Heritage Radio Network, which is what you're listening to right this second. There was a live show. We interviewed Dana Cowan, Kat Johnson, Jenny Britton Bauer.
Allie Kane.
Allie
the Sussmans. Those crazy brothers.
Max and Eli Sussman. So it was a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody. That was kind of a blast.
It was a blast. We want to specifically thank the Elvis that showed up at the end to grace us all with a
Elvis
wonderful...
Elvis Presley came in, or at least he looked just like him.
Big ups to Elvis Gene DiNapoli. You can find him on the web at newyorkelvis.com. He was fabulous for all your Elvis
Highly
needs.
Highly recommend.
Wonderful human being, great Elvis.
Great guest.
Great guest. And also, please check out Wildflower NYC and Cookie Crumbs Bakery. And thanks to Paris Gourmet, Wolfer Estate, Samisa, Haven's Kitchen. And
a Mass Gin.
And a Mass Gin. I mean, how could we forget a Mass Gin?
I got gin drunk last night.
Yeah, samesies. Woo, wow.
Well, I guess we shouldn't. Should we just talk about
it? Oh, yes, right. There's an amazing guest in the corner.
Sorry.
Oh, well, anyway.
I was just getting excited about the gin.
Yeah.
Please. I didn't want to talk, and like that would be weird, this third voice just piping in about how I wanted to be drunk on gin.
Got it. Well, in case you didn't recognize that voice, this is right here in front of us talking live into these microphones is Gail Simmons.
Hi.
Hi.
True.
Yes.
Truth.
So, Gail Simmons, in case you haven't been alive for the last... 20 years or
700
years. 700 is the original host or the original judge of Top Chef.
Yeah.
You were on season one.
I was.
Right?
I've been on every season. Actually, yeah, it's more or less.
How many seasons?
There's been 16 seasons.
Whoa.
I was 4 when we started the show.
Of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, I thought so.
I was a prodigy.
A childhood
super
judge.
Taster. Yes, there have been 16 seasons, although this past season, I was on it only in a limited fashion because I was on maternity leave. They literally started production 3 days before I gave birth, so
I
took a little leave of absence, but I will be back.
Oh my gosh, did they write you into the show like how they do on Seinfeld with Elaine, and they're like make you wear like stand behind things
no,
and wear
so
big
No, you can't do that in, we are woke.
Yeah.
You
Perfect.
Women, you can't do that okay, anymore, yeah. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
But they did write my pregnancy into the show right.
Okay.
I say right, but let's be clear, it's reality television. There is no actual writing.
Right. Or wrong.
It's all
right.
real.
Right.
It's all real.
Right, it's all real. No, there's no like kind of, you know, scripting of lines, but they did explain my absence. I did an episode at the very beginning of the season. I was way too pregnant to travel. I literally gave birth 3 days later,
That's
but
crazy.
At the very beginning of the season, they flew food to me that the chefs had prepared literally on a plane.
What?
My friend Nilu, who filled in for me last season,
wow,
carried food on her lap on a plane from Kentucky to New York to Brooklyn and delivered food for me in my kitchen to taste and judge as a challenge. So that, and we did it via Skype.
Whoa.
So that the contestants could like just see how really enormous I was. I was like an Oompa Loompa. But and then I was
she
gone because
hair,
my water broke like literally 48 hours later. And then I came back towards the end of the season several weeks later for one episode just to sort of meet them and get to do one episode of that season before.
How fun.
Yeah. So it was interesting. It was fun. And I was like, you know, I was charmed that the show did that instead of just like having me disappear.
That's
which
so
was appreciated because I was alive.
Yeah.
I was still there.
That's really sweet. I'm picturing you getting a bite of the first bite of the food and being like, it's cold.
Yeah. I was like, come on, guys, you can do better. It feels like it's been sitting around a long time. No, they actually did it sort of like a meal kit so that they brought it to me 3/4 of the way, but the proteins were raw, so I had to cook them per their instructions.
Oh, that's cool.
That way, that was part of the judging. Did they write the instructions well enough that I could follow their recipe and produce the same result that they would have produced? And that was part of the setup of who would win or not.
Wow.
That was smart.
That's really fun. You know, okay, so your last cookbook was called Bring It Home.
Yes, Bringing It Home.
Bringing
It Home. Yeah,
Bringing It Home. So they brought that.
They brought it.
They were like, bring the fish. No, actually bring the food home to her now.
Actually,
and have her judge it.
Bring it
so
now.
How that cookbook is all about, right? It's home cooking. It's
yes,
just,
very
so,
much so.
How was that?
Sure. It was wonderful. It came out about a year ago. Thank you. It was the culmination of many, many years of traveling and working on the road, shooting Top Chef, working with Food & Wine magazine, and sort of my journey from childhood into a career in food media and the travels and twists and turns and the very circuitous path I took to get where I am and the recipes that have inspired me along the way. And not just the recipes from other people, but recipes from my lifetime and my travels that I, in real life, bring home, adjust, tweak, edit, and make my own and integrate into my life and who have sort of shaped, sorry, not who have, but which have shaped who I am. And they're the way that I love to eat, but that are so heavily influenced
We are what we eat.
We are what we eat. And we are also like an amalgamation of those stories and those flavors. And so people always ask me, what's your favorite food to cook or what's your favorite food to eat? And what I love so much about eating at this very moment in time in New York City, where I'm lucky enough to live, is that I don't have to have a favorite kind of food, right? We can eat Indonesian or Turkish for breakfast and then eat Vietnamese for lunch and then eat like regional Chinese or Italian for
there's
dinner.
There's probably like a Turkish Vietnamese fusion restaurant.
I'm sure there is.
They're like, well, my mother was Turkish and my father was Vietnamese, so I combined
them
both.
We eat like Jewish sushi down the street.
That's right,
here,
right? That's right.
Whatever there is. So
Shalom Japan.
That's right. Oh, is that good? So all of those things are how we, I think, as Americans, I'm not actually American. I'm Canadian, but that's my whole story.
She's better than us.
As North Americans, well, maybe. No, different. Let's just say
better.
Different. We can eat so many things and incorporate all of those things. And, of course, you want to have reverence and respect for their purest versions, but also I'm so inspired by the ingredients of other places and I lug home, as we all do when we travel, those memories and taste memories that are so, so important. And so when I have the chance to eat them or recreate them or the things I crave are always sort of the last place I went.
Totally.
And that's where I'm kind of dreaming about and want to revisit. So that's the food I end up making for my family. And so that was what was involved.
Can I ask you a question? I would like to ask everybody this that cooks. Do you, because I'm kind of both, and sorry, you might
I'm
be
nervous.
Too, but no, yeah. What is, do you eat to cook or do you cook to eat or both?
I've never been asked that question.
Well, I don't know. I always
That's
ask
a good
like,
question, Brent.
Because sometimes I'm always like, do I like cooking a lot?
It's very meta.
Because I get, well, sometimes I'm like, oh, I gotta cook. And then I don't want to eat it, right? You're like, just take it. Like, I just want to make this for everybody else.
And I think both. I think you're right. I think there are times when I need food on the table and it's a chore, or I'm just hungry and I need to cook something, or I need to feed people, so there's purpose. But in my life, certainly there's a lot of times when I am cooking for the act of cooking
because
I'm inspired, because I love it, because I find it really calming, because it's my happy place. It's the place I find my rhythm. I clear my head. You know, it's almost for some people like working out is that. And I'm like, those people are cray. But that's not true.
I
get
that
too. And it is me too. Like I definitely understand. It's
an
energy release.
I can eat.
Right. We all do. We all do. That is the single purpose.
That's the only reason for working out. Anyone who says it's for mental stability is a liar.
No, but I do appreciate that. The energy release, the endorphin rush, and for me, the kitchen is the same. It is a place where I work it out. So I work like out my that. Head. I work out. Yeah. And I oh love God, the satisfaction, right, of just like that accomplishment. Of I love the tangibility of cooking. And also I think that I'm not alone. Most cooks, chefs, cook because it is so satisfying to create, and it doesn't take six, you know, it's not like creating a giant canvas. It is immediate. And then not only is the finished product pretty immediate, but then the results, you know, the reviews, you give right. it to someone and it helps them. It makes them happy. It nourishes yeah. them. And that is very satisfying too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the one thing I've always said about cooking in general and professionally, especially is that yes. the results are immediate, which is great. And then at the same time, there's almost, it's so urgent. I think that's why in
yes,
restaurant
it's like
kitchens.
Rare as a craft. Right. That it is so, such an urgent, like tangible thing.
Totally. And I think that's the thing that in kitchens and professional cooking situations makes it so high pressure, and why you see chefs freaking out and everyone's getting like there, and it's like, it's just food. It's like, well, no, it's also just this immediate thing. It appears right away. You eat it.
And there's
it,
so many variables, so and many the variables. Temperature and the doneness and the precision and the science. I mean, yeah. there's a lot of factors that, yeah. that make it very intimidating and very urgent and also incredibly satisfying and relaxing.
Totally.
What's something in what we always kind of start off when we mm-hmm. we talk about like what we've cooked this week or something, or like the top thing you've cooked. What did you do? And
I have to think about that. I feel like you guys.
Sarah, what did you cook?
What
you,
did I make
I saw
this week?
Some pickles in your fridge.
Well, I did. A single gal like me makes a lot of pickles because I get very turned on by the farmer's market. So I go out to the market. I'm like, I need some snap peas. I'm going to get my Martha Stewart on. Anybody sidebar notice that Martha Stewart really cooked a lot of snap pea recipes in her life, much more than the average person.
Snow peas.
I mean, I think
snow
she's done snap. A lot of things more than the average yeah, person,
that's
like
true.
Riding horses and raising ducks. And
that's true. Riding horses in the water.
Yeah.
She has passenger pigeons now, too.
What's that?
Does she have three-eyed ravens?
Oh my God! What in the hell?
Just
you
probably. She probably has.
I wouldn't
four
put
of
it
them.
Past her. Yeah.
She's like, that's so funny. I've revived one from an old genetic. Right. But I corrected the genetic code because it wasn't quite right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that Martha. Anyway, back to me. I am a single gal, and so I get a lot of stuff from the farmer's market, and then I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not going to eat all of this. I'm not going to really make anything. I don't have any time. I'm not going to just cook for myself. So I end up doing a lot of pickling. So, yes, I have a jar of mixed pickles right now going on. Which is kind of like, okay, I didn't finish this week. I have like a giant ball jar and I'm just like, I'll smush some asparagus into it.
Suddenly becomes jardinera.
Everything tastes like asparagus. Now, I made that and then I actually also made something that I have a little present for you guys, which I'm going to get out in just a moment that
I
is based
presents.
Around our topic this
our
week.
Our topic this week.
Yeah. What did you make?
What did I make?
He's been cooking for 3 days
yeah,
nonstop.
Yeah,
I was cooking for a restaurant, so I don't know. What did I made? Somebody made chicken. I made... What lamb? Fried lamb today?
What
we did
the
fried
hell?
Fried lamb chops.
Wow!
Oh my
just
God, they were
like
incredible.
Throw them right in the
right
deep
into
fryer?
The deep fryer. They were braised first.
Oh, okay.
And then fried, and
just
they had
crisped
this.
Up.
They had this like cumin crust on, and it was kind of.
I'd eat that.
It was beyond. Yeah. It was really good.
Sorry, invitation got lost in the mail.
What did you?
Oh yeah, me too. Let's see. I made a big tomato, like really reduced tomato sauce on Sunday night.
Ooh.
Like really
ooh.
Veggie,
that's so, I did too,
heavy,
yeah.
yummy, yum. Simple tomato sauce. And then I've made about 17 salads and roasted some broccoli.
Yum.
And I mean, that's all I can think about. That's all.
That's a lot. 17 salads.
Oh, and a lot of eggs because I have two very young children. So that's pretty
eggs
much
are the best.
Yeah. Oh, and some... Well, really, my father did them, but I'm going to say I sort of helped make some grits the other day. My father eats grits for breakfast almost every morning.
Really?
Wow, yes. Every morning.
Is that a Canadian thing?
Well, he eats, interestingly, no, at all. It's not a Canadian thing because we don't have a South, so we don't have like a culture of grit growing, eating corn. But my father eats a hot cereal for breakfast every morning, and he was visiting, and... His grandchildren.
That seems so Canadian, right?
It is so earnest.
Yeah.
A warm bowl of
porridge.
Hot. Did you eat hot grape nuts? Remember, did you ever do that?
No, but of course I know grape nuts.
There you go.
He eats a lot of like oats and
millet.
Millet and sorghum and cream of wheat. It comes from he's from South Africa and it comes from his South African upbringing. Like it's very British.
Right.
Sort of like hot porridge. And he'll put chocolate, like cocoa powder in it and make it chocolatey for my children. And my daughter, I thought, you know, oh, this is something so important to my dad. she's going to just like throw it in his face, be like, no, I don't want to eat that, and be a brat about it.
Yeah.
And she actually loves it. And when he comes to visit, she knows I'm going to get, she hot calls it porridge, which is like weirdly, it sounds like I'm serving her gruel every morning. But
like the fairy tale, like Grimm's fairy tale. Like,
but, you know, so sometimes he'll make grits as that, and we'll put some maple syrup and like milk in it for her in the morning. So he made some, and I like helped him, you know, finish them and serve them to the kids.
Yeah,
oh, three generations of cooking in the family.
That's adorable. Well, one other thing that I made this week relates to our topic, and I have a little jar of it, an adorable ball jar for each of you. Have prepared a strawberry salsa.
Did you say a salsa with strawberry?
Well, that's right, Brent. I did say a salsa with strawberries. Now, say that 10 times fast. It's a tongue twister.
Strawberries. I lost. It actually is very hard. Strawberry salsa. Who would have thought you could make salsa with strawberries?
I mean, who knew? So I made a little strawberry salsa. There's some chili, some ginger, some vinegar. It's pretty tasty. Lots of cilantro, strawberries, some cherry tomatoes.
This all sounds delicious. Yeah,
it's pretty good. And that's because, ladies and gents and germs out there, today's topic, as you may have guessed it, is
fresas. Oh, that's Spanish for strawberry. Fragola. Fragola. That's Italian.
Fragol.
What? What's French?
Fraise.
Fraise.
Fraise, that's
fraise,
right.
Fraise de bois, fraise.
Yeah, of course. Fraise. So we're talking strawberries this week. I have a couple of fun facts about strawberries.
You know that strawberries aren't a berry?
That was one of my facts.
Well,
God damn it.
Hey, no swearing.
They have seeds on the outside, right? Is that why?
They're crazed. They're called like a receptor, basically, mm-hmm. which is where fruit and vegetables get sexual. And I want to keep PG, so I just turned that right off. I said, I'm not reading any more about this.
There's approximately 200 seeds, which are actually each of those is an ovary. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
That's like how the science of it works.
So they're super fertile.
Yeah.
Super fertile.
Wow. And even into their later age, I wonder.
Yeah, I'm just a really curious. Old strawberry.
Wait, so are there any other fruits that are like that?
No. It's the only one. That is the only fruit that is like that, that has seeds like that all over the outside. I mean, raspberries have seeds, but they're not quite on the outside. They're like hidden under those billowy sacks of
you know what that
juice.
Is kind of one time I used my iPhone camera and I took a really close up of a strawberry and it looks
like a nose, like a nose with a lot of blackheads.
Yeah, it's not. I almost never ate strawberries again.
Right.
But here we are. I just took a sip of the salsa.
So the modern strawberry that we have in America is called a Virginia strawberry.
That's right, the Virginia strawberry.
Which often grows in people's backyards, which I never had that growing up. All we ever had was dandelion greens in my backyard, which my grandfather would pick and make us eat for dinner as a child. And I still like them.
Yeah, they're good.
Even still, they are good. But a little kid eating a dandelion green.
No.
I'm like, why do the other kids eat chicken nuggets?
And we're eating strawberries.
Yeah, and strawberries. We're eating out of the fucking driveway. It was ridiculous. But, you know.
Here's your purslane salad.
Things were different back then. Americans, I'm not sure about Canadians, I would assume probably the same, eat about 3.4 pounds of strawberries every single year.
That's a lot of...
Each person individually?
Each human, adult, and child.
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably eat way more than that.
Same.
3.4 pounds? Oh, yeah, I go through that in like 2 days in June and July.
It did not sound...
I guess you're right,
It didn't sound right to me.
Well, we're lucky because we have access to good strawberries.
That's
right?
True.
You know, the difference between a Driscoll's... Driscoll's, right? Driscoll.
Yeah.
Which, you know that they apparently use slave labor, I read. I don't know if this is true or not. But anyway, just not that I'm dissing Driscoll's.
No, you should. They're a really bad company.
I think they're a bad company.
They're horrible.
But between that and you get that fresh strawberry that is actually sun-ripened in the garden.
Oh, yeah. Harry's berry. Do you know what the Harry is?
Oh, the Harry. We always used to get those at Brucey. Those Harry's berries are the best strawberries.
Really, they figured it out.
Yeah.
They figured it out.
I was just in Japan a couple of weeks ago.
Did you get $1,000 chair?
I got like I did. White strawberries, which I think you can find here. There's green strawberries, certainly, that like chefs cook with because they're just like unripened strawberries. But white strawberries, fully ripened, white. I have a picture, which will not help our listeners.
Yeah.
But you can imagine the color white.
But they're white strawberries, so sweet and juicy. We found them in the Tsukiji market, which is like the fish market. And also there's a lot
We're
of
all
like ingredients
expensive.
And things.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the chefs I was with was like, oh, I got to buy these. And our host decided to buy them for us as a gift. As part of our lunch to eat with our lunch. And then we found out later, you know, I'm glad we didn't buy them, but also they were like $1,000. Maybe not $1,000, but they were very expensive.
They can be very expensive.
You know, they like individually wrap every single strawberry. I mean, it's all crazy, but they were, I mean, they were worth it. Totally worth it.
Oh, somebody tends to that berry for the duration of its berry life.
Right. It has its own berry babysitter.
And then I devour it.
And you devoured it.
In like one bite, you're like, oh, this is like, very special.
Okay, next.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Also, I wanted to mention to you guys that a strawberry is a member of the rose family. So you can stop and smell the strawberries while you're smelling the roses. And then I just wanted to quickly remind everyone about Daryl Strawberry, America's sweetheart.
Is he?
No. Yes. Yeah. He's America's sweetheart on the 86 Mets. Lover of cocaine. Sleeper. Used to sleep with women during the ball game. He would point to them and then summon them to the bullpen. He had a couple run-ins with the law. Kicked out of the Major League Baseball league four times for using cocaine. And all around pretty bad guy.
Now he's a preacher.
Okay.
Yes. So he's cleaned up his ass.
Second chances.
Change your last name if it's Strawberry.
Totally. But he's an important strawberry. He's the bad kind of. He's a Driscoll Strawberry.
Was his real last name Strawberry?
Yes. He's truly named Daryl Strawberry. I think he's Daryl Strawberry Senior. So there's now a Daryl Strawberry.
One.
Yeah. There's a bunch of strawberries out there, but it's not really necessarily
probably more than
good
he even
kind.
Knows.
Oh yeah, there's strawberry. There's
Pastor Strawberry. I have a question. I've sinned, and I don't know.
Pastor Strawberry, that's crazy. And then I just want to tell you one quick strawberry joke. What do you call a sad strawberry?
I don't know, Zara. What?
A blueberry.
Oh, I'm gonna tell that to my daughter tonight.
I mean,
my daughter has this. This is maybe a weird story to tell you, but she has.
Go ahead.
This game she likes to play where she's young. Old enough to go to the bathroom by herself, but not always old enough to wipe herself.
Oh, okay.
It's okay.
So we're at
remember,
that. That happens. That's the stage of life.
Sure.
But she won't let me into the bathroom. She likes her privacy.
Oh.
So she'll close the door and do her business, which I appreciate.
Yes.
But then she won't let me in until I tell a joke.
Oh.
So she'll be like, nope, can't come in until. And not only does it have to be a joke, but it has to be a joke that she likes.
Oh, she better. I hope she likes this one.
And so I'm always looking. I'm scrambling on the Google to find a good knockout joke.
How many jokes a day are you telling?
I mean, you know, so she's fickle about it.
Oh,
sometimes she's cool. So I need some good, wholesome jokes. So that's going to help.
That's amazing.
I love her. Like, how did you fall into your stand-up career? Be like, well,
yeah,
you
my, know, daughter.
My daughter's ass a lot.
I had to wipe a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That, as she gets older, she's probably going to, like, the material's going to change. So pretty soon you're going to be doing, like, Rodney Dangerfield material.
Also, she's going to one day hear this and be really pissed that I told that story.
We'll delete this immediately after. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, Gail is going to grace us with an amazing story about strawberries. Come back, please.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Did anyone actually ever see that, though? The Sue Simmons thing.
No, but heard about it, of course.
It's one of the funniest.
It's the funniest
things.
Thing. Whenever I'm in a bad mood, I just watch it. And then she comes back, she's like, I'd like to apologize. I was had a work-related issue, and I definitely acted up and shouldn't have said those things.
Sue Simmons.
You know, we all have done it. I love it now.
Oh, of course. Hot mic. All right. So, Gail, you have a story for us about strawberries.
I'm very excited.
So excited about this because...
I mean, it's not like the most.
Yeah. All right. You're like, don't get excited.
Mystical, mysterious story, but it's one that I actually didn't know. I knew sort of bits and pieces of it, but didn't know all the details until you told me to think about strawberries. And when I think about strawberries and things related to strawberries, and you and I talked a little bit about it, I think about the Beatles and Strawberry Field. And most people, including myself, don't know the story of Strawberry Fields with an S.
I don't.
I don't either.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I've never heard of the Beatles either. Are they good?
Okay, let me tell you about the Beatles.
Yeah.
So one of the most famous Beatles songs, obviously, that we all probably know, and if you don't, you should
figure that out. Listen, try to Spotify right this second. Yeah.
So, one of their most famous songs ever was a song that John Lennon wrote in the summer of 1966. The Beatles were actually on a bit of a hiatus. But this song was a big piece of their comeback to music. And he wrote it not about the field in Central Park. That came much, much, much later.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But I will tell you about why that, I mean, obviously that field is named after the song.
Right.
But about an orphanage that was down the street from John's childhood home. And it was a girl's orphanage, an all-girls orphanage. And he did not have an incredibly happy childhood. This is, you know, what I've learned on the internet. So yeah. I'm going to keep it brief and hope that the facts are correct.
Well, I really, you were so convincing. I was like,
I'm just going to, yeah.
You were the official.
I am the official Beatles archivist.
Right now. So kind. Love
so John did not have an incredibly happy childhood. And his father wasn't around a lot. And he felt a little neglected and... you know, dealt with those feelings all his life. But there was this very mysterious building down the street that was a girl's foster orphanage run by the Salvation Army. Oh. And it was all girls. It later, many years later, after John grew up, allowed boys as well. But when he was growing up, it was an all-girls orphanage. And he had these dreams that even though it looked very foreboding from the outside and was this... you know, sort of mysterious, haunting place. He had a lot of dreams and sort of daydreams and stories that he would make up to himself about the fact that if you could climb the walls and go over it, it would be a magical, beautiful place with gardens and happy, happy things that he couldn't experience. And the place was called Strawberry Field. That was the name of the orphanage.
Wow. Oh my God.
Field singular.
Okay.
No S at the end. And so he wrote this song about Strawberry, sort of using Strawberry Field because it was such a beautiful name, but actually was the name of a not so happy place that he felt sort of reflected his own abandonment in childhood. He used fields plural. The song is very specifically Strawberry Fields Forever.
Yeah, forever.
Because it sounded better
in
a song.
because he's an excellent lyricist.
Yeah. Yes. But let me take you down because I'm going to Strawberry Fields where nothing is real.
Yeah.
Strawberry Fields forever.
That is
I feel
such
like
a
I would
cool
listen
story.
To any story that you would tell me.
I know.
I have so many stories.
You're a very good
I was like,
story.
Yes. you're
well, and then the follow-up is, of course, in Central Park, there is a giant, beautiful, quiet place called Strawberry Fields. And it was named after the song in memory of John. It was dedicated to John Lennon in 1985 on the 45th anniversary of his death.
Oh my gosh.
And to this day, even though John is from England, Birmingham originally, I believe, although I can't quote
I'm not
myself
the
on that.
I am
it
not the archivist.
Correct.
he lived the last years of his life in New York, right on Central Park West. He was shot on Central Park West. And
I can't believe that.
And so they dedicated this field to him. And to this day, on the anniversary of his birth and his death, you know, thousands of people from around the world flock to Strawberry Fields to pay homage to the great John Lennon.
That's amazing. Is Strawberry Field, I'm embarrassed that I don't know this, near the Dakota? Like, is it, what's that at, like 72nd Street or something like that?
I have that
close,
information
yeah.
very.
Oh,
yeah, she has a
stump.
What is this tiny computer that you're holding in your hand?
It is fascinating, isn't it?
That's a great.
You know,
yes, it's Central Park West between 71st and 74th.
Okay,
so yes,
cool, yeah. Awesome.
Right there.
It's interesting because the word strawberry evoked, it is such a, like, strawberry.
Yeah, strawberry, I think, is evokes sweetness and springtime and, you know, happiness and growth and rebirth and
like, can you get upset?
Juiciness,
can
romance.
Can you be in a bad mood when I say strawberry shortcake?
No.
No.
You
no.
Can't. Not I mean, unless you're deathly allergic to strawberries.
Right.
Ooh, there are people that are really allergic to strawberries.
It's that is, for me, a surprising allergy because I always think peanuts and frog's legs and wheat, but strawberries?
Frog's legs.
Yeah, lots of people.
Wow. That's niche. But I will say, strawberries, after hearing from you that strawberries are a fruit unique in and of themselves, they are not a berry, sort of makes more sense because you never hear about people having like blueberry or raspberry or blackberry allergies.
Exactly.
But you hear of a lot of strawberry allergies and clearly it must have something to do with that outside.
Totally.
I don't know.
Yeah, that like
seed,
weird
skin
outer layery thing.
There's something
the
histematic.
Ovaries.
Totally. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Histamine-y.
That
doesn't feel right, but you know what I mean.
Totally. Yeah, this guy, I was listening to a podcast on the way over here just about strawberries, and the guy who was, they were very sweet, but he was doing the podcast on strawberries, and he's like, I'm allergic to strawberries, so I would never know if they tasted good or not. And then like 5 seconds later, he would say another fact about them. He's like, not like I would know, because I would die if I even saw one.
Angry.
Just skip the strawberry podcast.
Of anything to be allergic to besides eggs, perhaps. Strawberries would make me angry too.
Yeah.
Because they're sort of the perfect thing. So anyone listening who has a strawberry allergy, you are heard.
Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah. I feel your pain.
You're very, very recognized.
Never a strawberry shortcake?
I mean, that would be very sad. Actually,
a strawberry jam?
Yeah. Top five of all time. Top and anything really, milkshake. Anything.
Yeah.
All of it.
What? This is kind of a little bit of a sidebar, but what would be the one thing that you would be allergic to that would be the hardest thing for you guys? What about you?
Bread.
I thought you were going to say Breton.
No, bread.
That would be real hard.
That would be bread.
I would say eggs.
Yeah, or eggs would be tough. Yeah.
But bread, you know, too, gluten would be hard for
bread
me.
Bread would be hard. For me, it would be lemons. If I could never have a lemon again, that would be it for me. Mm-hmm. Sayonara. Sayonara. Well. Sayonara,
it's like, you know, good thing we don't have to pick.
No.
Gratitude for not being allergic to anything.
Thank goodness. So this brings us to the segment we like to call Chef Recommends.
Chef Recommends you stay out of the kitchen.
So this week we're going to do in our Chef Recommends alternate ways to use strawberries other than like, oh, you can make a jam. You can make a strawberry rhubarb pie. Like what's something kind of funky that you've either made or you could recommend for people to do with a strawberry that's kind of niche or avant-garde?
You know, I don't know if either of these things are avant-garde per se, but here are things that I like to do with strawberries.
Perfect.
I do really like to pickle them.
Oh, yum.
So pickled, you were talking about pickling them. Sure. Especially if you have some strawberries that aren't as like juicy and prime as you hoped that they would be. Absolutely. You know, if they're, as long as they're not too ripe that they'll disintegrate.
Yeah.
Even a green strawberry, like a slightly underripe strawberry, but pickling strawberries is really delicious.
And what do you put them on?
Oh, everything. You put them with anything rich. So like chopped liver.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh my God. Of course, Gail Simmons is like, I'd randomly just made some chopped liver with some pickled strawberries, which sounds
like
fabulous.
Chopped liver. But you know, then you're like, if you're going to get real faint, but like, you know, rich cheese, anything that you would eat a pickled vegetable with, really.
I think pickled strawberries
would be a good way to go. Another thing that I really love to do with strawberries is to grill or roast them. People often don't think about cooking strawberries, but if you're grilling them, you have to use a grill basket, like a very fine mesh grill basket. But you know, it really brings out their juices, gives them some smoke, and then they're so great as a topping for ice cream or yogurt or really just with a spoon, It's sort of like jam, making them jammy, but you don't need to reduce them down that much that they totally break down. They still have their integrity, but have like a roasted, warm smokiness to them.
Yummy.
And that's a great like summer thing.
Yeah.
And the other thing I love to do with strawberries, which you can do with roasted strawberries or raw, is to make them into popsicles.
Oh, yeah.
I have an obsession with the popsicle from the ice cream truck that still exists and that existed when I was a child, like the strawberry shortcake popsicle, you know, the Good Humor classic that has the dehydrated, crunchy strawberry topping on top. And it's like a creamy strawberry popsicle inside. I love it, but I also, it's sort of junky.
Yeah.
So I've made a version before and I liked it so much I put it in my cookbook.
Oh, hi.
Hi. There's a little watching us.
A friend. Hey, buddy.
And he's like, why are you all in a box talking
with headphones on?
He's kind of looking at us like we're fish, though.
Which I like, and I don't mind it.
He's very cute.
So I put this recipe in my book because I came to love it so much. And my daughter loved it, kind of recreating that, where I like roast strawberries and make a buttermilk strawberry popsicle, you know, just freeze them in popsicle.
Yum.
Put them in the blender with some buttermilk and some sweetness, like simple syrup or whatever, and freeze them in popsicle molds. And then you can buy like dehydrated corn pops, like cereal, and dehydrated strawberries. You can literally buy dehydrated like bags of strawberries at Trader Joe's or something,
That's
and
right,
crush them and stick them on the outside of the strawberry. And like, so yeah, strawberry popsicle.
That's a little Martha of you.
It is. It is like a project. You but you can also just make a strawberry popsicle. Like, put strawberries in a blender with some simple syrup and put them in a mold and make a popsicle.
That's true.
And like a good strawberry popsicle, I think, so is good. Just like a really good thing.
So, so good. Bretonian? Mm-hmm. What about you?
You know, I've been really using the freeze-dried strawberries.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So it's the same thing. And I think the one thing that I just did was a Swiss meringue buttercream.
Oh.
So speaking
of Martha.
Exactly. Who's calling who Martha now?
Yeah. But I did discover on the fabulous internet, on the Serious Eats website, which is Stella Parks, if you haven't ever... She's incredible. She's, and I love her recipes. I love her writing. She's a genius. But she makes a strawberry cake that actually has pureed strawberries in it.
Mm. Like folded into the batter?
Folded into the batter. That sounds like a good idea. And it's pink. And she said she wanted to emulate that strawberry milk from the 1980s, kind of flavor. But she's like, I want to use real stuff. And the freeze-dried strawberries really have that thing. So you do that with a...
So you soak them?
You just puree them.
You add water to them? No. The dehydrated strawberries?
Oh, the...
You have to rehydrate them.
You have to rehydrate them.
No, the freeze-dried, you don't have to rehydrate. Well, they will just... You powder them.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I skipped that step in my head. I was like, obviously you're already Cuisinarting this, right? While we're talking. Did you sift it?
Cool. I'm going to look it up because that sounds like a great
buzz up the freeze dried.
Powder them and then fold them into the batter.
And you can do anything. Yeah. If you don't have to make Swiss meringue buttercream, you could fold it into like a regular American buttercream, whatever.
But that's very smart. I love that.
I guess it's kind of typical, but it's not.
It's a smart. It's a smart tip.
I did not. I wish I could take credit for that, but.
But she's great, and her recipes are cool. That's awesome.
What about you, Zara?
Oh, what about Will?
She's like, well,
I thought you'd never ask. Huh. Anyway,
I made a 22 strawberry champagne. That probably Zara would make that.
I use them to make clothing. No, I like to do. So I'm thinking of particular. I like savory applications of strawberries. I just want to touch on something you said about grilling them. Could you put them on a kebab, like a metal skewer?
Yes. Oh, I'm thinking or that through, and you could. The only thing is that when they get soft and the juices...
They'll melt off.
Like, I think that...
Still keep them on
something.
It
would probably be better just to still keep them on, like, a grate or a basket.
Okay.
My friend Adam, who has one of those, like, incredible parrillas in his house, you know, like the Spanish grills...
Oh, my God.
He roasts strawberries all the time, and he takes, like, a fine mesh... strainer.
Oh.
And he just puts them in the strainer and puts the strainer right on
the
grill.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
And then you
cool.
can really oh, control just... the temperature by like moving it up. Because you don't want to like put them over crazy high heat and
yeah, they'll just melt.
You know, burn the crap out of them. You need them to be sort of on possibly even indirect heat, and they get more smoky and soft and warm than anything else.
That sounds amazing. I have a thing for like really burnt things. So when I was picturing that, I was like, oh, a really like, you know, when a marshmallow gets very toasty.
But I don't think they would.
I don't think it would do
like
that.
I don't think they would crisp up. Agreed. There's too much liquid in a strawberry.
That's true. Okay. I digress. My thing with strawberries, my tip is we used to have a salad at Brucey that I loved, and it was smoked almonds, anchovies, lots of mint, some chilies, and strawberries.
The strawberry that salad.
Yeah, it was the basis.
I'm making it tonight.
You should.
That sounds amazing.
It was really delicious. And I think just like the combination of that salty
was there lettuces? No.
No, it was just strawberries.
Smoked? I'm just putting it in my memory so that
she'll
I
text
can
you the recipe.
I'll tell you.
That is exciting.
It's great. So, I mean, and really any kind of nut, like a pistachio would be perfectly fine, a walnut, even dare I say a pecan or a hazelnut?
No, I think actually a smoked almond or a pistachio sounds good.
It was
good.
Really
strawberries
good.
And pistachios are a good combo.
Really good. And the anchovies and like a little chili was delicious. So let's then now segue to our last segment, which is going to be our top three, which is the most fun thing. Hey, bud. I want to ask this guy what his top three is.
Maybe he wants to be a radio show host.
That would be amazing.
What's his top three favorite?
What is everyone's top three favorite things with strawberries? Gail, do you want to begin?
Yeah. Strawberries?
Oh.
No, I'm just saying. But I do. Strawberries with whipped cream. Like straight up raw strawberries, dip them in the whipped cream. You don't really need anything else.
That was invented during Henry VIII's reign by the chef, apparently. He invented
strawberries. You serious?
Yeah, yeah. That was like one of the things I read this week.
Oh, my
God. Well, that guy was a freaking genius.
Genius. Yeah. He probably got killed. Be like, oh, stupid chef.
So that I love. I really love strawberry shortcake. Like, I know it sounds super basic, but you were talking about it before, and if it's on a menu... I will make it, or even just like a strawberry crumb, like crisp, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like just simple. That to me is really good.
Really good.
The other thing I wanted to say as a sidebar is that when I had my daughter and she became old enough to eat ice cream and make her own ice cream choices, I felt this deep disappointment
when she
became a strawberry person, because I am a chocolate person,
oh,
right?
Interesting.
Like when I can order ice cream and I just get to choose my own ice cream, chances are I will choose something with chocolate in it, whether mm-hmm. it's mint chocolate chip or
right.
chocolate or in coffee
chocolate,
or dark
butter,
chocolate,
yeah,
chocolate
yeah.
peanut butter, all that stuff. That's where I lean. So when I, you know, as with a lot of things, when you become a parent, like you have to fight controlling the child who just is like adamant at being their own person.
Can you imagine
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
God.
Can you imagine that's, wanting to be?
No.
And then you have to like get over it and just let them be the strawberry person, even though you can't really imagine that you gave birth to a strawberry person. So then I found myself eating strawberry ice cream, which I never used to do because she
look
had
at that.
Ice cream.
Your daughter yeah. converted you.
Well, it's not that she converted, it's just that all of a sudden, like there was a strawberry ice cream with us. I'm not saying that we had it every day, but like, you know, I wouldn't get an ice cream. She'd get an ice cream. She'd only finish half her ice cream. So of course I'm like the garbage can. I'm just going to finish eating the ice cream. And then I realized that like good strawberry, this is all to say that really good,
it has to be
strawberry
good.
Ice cream that's made with real strawberries is like a completely brilliant and beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And my daughter was onto something, as
you learned
something are millions and millions of people. But it was a very humbling food moment for me when she basically schooled me in strawberry ice cream.
Totally. Wow. I know. It's one of those things that you kind of, I've also had the same feeling about strawberry ice cream through the years. I'm like, I'd always pick a coffee or I'm a mint chip person or mm-hmm. coffee or even a vanilla. But definitely strawberry ice cream is very special. And when it's good, it is good.
Yeah. Mm.
Little sea salt on top.
Yes.
Yum.
What's it? No, yours.
Oh,
yours.
Yours.
I'm dying. I'm hungry.
Okay. My number three favorite thing with strawberries of all time is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with strawberry jam.
Yes.
Classic.
On white bread.
Yep.
No delicious. Question. It's the only jam I want on a PB&J sandwich.
Agreed. I mean, I would go grape jelly, but that's for the grape episode. I do prefer strawberry. Like, and I mean, like, I'm fine with a really shitty, like, Smucker's even is fine for me. So, whatever. Sorry, Smuckers. Call me.
at Smuckers.
And this show is brought to you by Smuckers.
Smuckers.
My number two is actually strawberry ice cream. I love strawberry ice cream in a cone always. I'm a cone person. A cup is basically illegal for me.
It's a cop out.
It's a cop out. That's very true. And then my number one, obviously, duh, is strawberry rhubarb pie.
Yeah.
I love
it.
Man.
I love it. Yeah. It's the best. And I want to shout out my mom quickly, who said that she had experienced the World's Fair and that she had waffles, Belgian waffles with whipped cream and strawberries for the first time. And it was like one of the best experiences of her life. She asked me to mention on the show. Bobby, that one's for you. Breton.
Okay. Number three, a strawberry. I just thought of this and then I lost it in my head. A strawberry margarita frozen.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I did them
last year.
Hell yeah.
Last year I got my Vitamix. You have to have the Vitamix. Don't even use an Osterizer. Hashtag add Vitamix.
Yeah. This show brought to you by Vitamix.
No,
guys,
but
you are rolling in the dough today.
And so I had this. These strawberries. I was like, oh, is that cheesy? And then remember, I got obsessed pretty much every night for as long as my bottle would last of tequila or rum or whatever it was. Strawberry margaritas are, with good strawberries, are incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't they be?
You're making me want to take this strawberry salsa that you gave me and like just put tequila in it.
You should. You have like a strawberry
salsa. Which I may or may not do depending on how desperate I am later.
Number two, I got to say strawberry rhubarb, anything crisp.
Yeah.
Like pie, lattice crust, sheet pan, cake pan, whatever.
Yeah. Put it in a shoe.
Sheet cake. Put it in a shoe. And then, you know, number one, my grandmother used to make this. I don't know a lot of grandmothers, but freezer jam.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
they
told
would,
me about
you,
that.
So you don't really have to use sugar gel or something. You make freezer jam. You just like make the strawberries and you put it in your freezer. And somehow you take it out of this freezer and you put it on hot whole wheat toast. And then it's always in the freezer, so then you get the hot buttery toast with crisp, cold freezer jam, and it's always like
Oh my God.
And we founded by this.
It's so freezer jam. It's amazing. A thing from like the 50s. I don't know.
So wait, so you like make the strawberries on the stovetop?
Yeah, I think they're
or like maybe, cook them down the way you would make regular jam and
I've
then freeze it?
I've never done it.
So it's just frozen jam, but not that that's anything wrong with that.
It's just so interesting. Yeah, I think there was a thing like it was back when.
You know, it used to be easier for housewives instead of like the canning method.
Right, right.
I think it actually happened because of that.
It's kind of like a strawberry semifreddo jam.
Mm-hmm.
It's something.
It sounds
else.
Absolutely.
Or maybe
delicious.
I just have a childhood memory, but it's anyway. Well,
maybe you were just eating frozen strawberries like out of the freezer.
Out of the bag.
Like, it's jam, right? I'm putting it on toast. They're like, yes, Brett, it's jam.
My first recipe. Yeah.
We're all out of time here. This really flew by because you're such an amazing guest. No. It was so fun to talk to you. No,
thanks,
it was great.
Guys.
It was really great. It was a great time. Gail, anything that you would like to tell us about that you have coming up or you want to plug or where we can find you, follow you? Who are you?
Who knows?
Who are you anyway?
I have an identity crisis every day. Yeah. I am Gail Simmons. You can find me at gailsimmons.com. On Instagram, I'm Gail Simmons Eats. And
what is your home address?
Otherwise, I'm mostly in Brooklyn, but then I'm also all over the map. Cool. Both internally and physically. So come find me.
Cool.
Perfect. Thank you.
This was a great episode. And I just want to say, again, thank you so much to Heritage Radio for the wonderful live show we did last night. It was so amazing to hear all these wonderful, intelligent women and men speaking. Thank you again to Gene DiNapoli, our Elvis for the night. That was one of the most fun, exciting, special, lovely things. He was such a nice person. And to all our people who donated to the show. It was really great. Yeah. And strawberries are delicious.
And you should buy them right now because they are prime in season.
They're peak season. They don't last all that long. We only have them right through July, the beginning of July. And then hasta la pasta, just like we say on the show when it's over. So everyone, have a wonderful week. Thank you for joining us. Tune in next week when our show will be sponsored once again by Smucker's and Monsanto. Hasta la pasta, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.